Coming up on podcast 1194, Dyson's $700 million EV, which never was. Also on the podcast today, Tesla's new software, Volkswagen's ID3, arrives in China, and the MG5 EV is significant, according to one newspaper. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. For Sunday, 29th of August, my name is Martin Lee. Well, I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. And I know what's going on at the minute, just picking up bugs left, right, and centre, but as you can hear, come down with another head cold, and you know we're testing pretty regularly for COVID. It's obviously negative, so it's nothing more than just picking up bugs. Over the last year and a half with lockdowns and things, it's been, you know, nice not being ill, but the joys of having a kid and bringing things home, I guess you could say. But either way, apologies for that. We'll start with news in China. The Chinese EV manufacturer GAC Aion officially debuted their long-awaited fast charger. Now, people were wondering about the speed of this charger because it's 1,000 volts and it'll work at about 600 amps. So people were kind of doing the math and being like, 1,000 times 600, that's amazing. That's going to be a 600 kilowatt fast charger. But the fast charger was always dubbed the A480. Well, I was sticking my neck out and saying, well, if it's called A480, it's probably going to be 480 kilowatts. And that is exactly what it is. But hey, we're arguing around the edges here. It's a 480 kilowatt DC fast charger. Now, it's going to be at its most useful on their own vehicle. That's called the Aion V. It's an SUV, and it runs at a very high voltage, and so it'll charge from 30 to 80% in under 5 minutes. So the company in China unveiled their new supercharger. Neither the company's English nor Chinese language websites have any official information about the actual event they held, but local media outlets covered it, according to thedriven.io, the Aussie website, saying that during the event, GAC showed off their new Aion V. It charged from 30 to 80%. It peaked at 480 kilowatts charge speed. That's insane, isn't it? That's amazing. Now, this technology has existed in the lab and exists in small-scale applications, but to see it actually inside a production working EV, admittedly a Chinese one, most people can't buy it. However, it was able to add 35.1 kilowatt hours of power and a maximum charge current of 560 amps. The A480 charger has an operating voltage of 880 volts, and the company is planning mass production of the charging technology in September. So next month, they start making the superchargers and the cars which can make the most of them. So those specs are only a little bit down on what had been promised. So back in February, we heard that there was a charger coming that was 1,000 volts and 600 amps. Well, look, it's not far off. It's 880 volts and it's 560 amps. And being able to get 480 kilowatts of power into an EV, that's insane. You know, my take on this is that it opens up the possibilities of having electric vehicles with smaller batteries. If we can, with this graphene-based battery that they have developed, and they've commercialized it, and so it's going into production cars, if they can sell that to others or more people pick up on this technology, if we can have, maybe in 5 or 10 years' time, extremely fast charging electric vehicles safely. And that means you can carry around a much smaller battery, as long as the charging infrastructure is there, of course. But it means that, hey, if you've got to stop for 5 minutes, well, maybe you want to go grab yourself Starbucks, a coffee, a quick snack, a takeaway burger or something. Well, you pull in, plug your car. That's going to be 5 to 8 minutes. If you're getting out of your car, walking to somewhere, ordering, paying, and waiting for your drink or your food, that's 5 to 8 minutes on a, you know, on a good day. And you come back and your car's full, right? That's where we could be going. And so when people say to me, oh, well, you know, petrol and diesel are going nowhere, hydrogen's the future, you know, people doubt EVs. This technology is here now and in production vehicles. If it is used elsewhere, extremely fast charging, then that is, you know, that's amazing. 80% in under 5 minutes, 35 kilowatt hours added in under 5 minutes. If you're on a road trip, you shouldn't be, you know, doing more than 2-3 hours of driving without stopping and stretching your legs. And of course you want to charge up, but then, you know, 10 minutes, you're off and away. That is amazing. Again, it's hard to get a lot of, if this was an American, if this was a Tesla, right, they would be worldwide publicity about this. Elon Musk, with his tens of millions of Twitter followers, would be talking about it for months in advance. There'd be glory. This is huge. if it's as true as it seems. And I've no reason to doubt it. I just can't find more information about it. They've just been pretty low-key about the whole thing. So, anyway, the cars arrive next month in September. Then they'll be in customers' hands. Then we can't wait to see the real life of this. Next, Tesla is pushing out new software to improve, particularly the Model S. The cars will be getting better suspension control, auto parking and more. Some of the improvements will make it into other vehicles as well. They've been pushing the new update for the Model S to update the active suspension damping and also auto park features, because the latest cars don't use anything apart from cameras. So that's why there's been this delay. So if you're thinking, hang on, cars have always been able to auto park, well, that feature got removed and now it's being added back in. Tesla say, and I quote, "A recalibrated suspension damping algorithm allows for smoother control and improved ride comfort. A rebalanced rebound to compression ratio works with the all-new multi-link rear suspension to enhance steering response and handling for a higher degree of road connection and more precise control during spirited driving." Nice phrase. "Your vehicle can now automatically park in parallel and perpendicular posts. While driving below 15 miles an hour, the instrument cluster displays a parking icon. If it detects a potential parking space to initiate auto park, tap and hold the auto park button in the shift panel and release the steering yoke. For more information, refer to the owner's manual." Child lock replaces the camera icon under the controls section. And for anyone that uses that camera icon as a shortcut, they'll have to do a bit of relearning the old muscle memory. That is now child lock, and you can access camera via the bottom bar on the touchscreen. I'll pop a link to Electrek in the show notes to read more about that story. Volkswagen are next in the news, and the ID3 is touching down in China. Volkswagen introducing its popular all-electric ID3 in China. Customers can pre-book it from October, making its debut at the Chengdu Motor Show. The ID3 is set to create its base in the world's biggest EV market and the world's biggest automotive market. So in China, they've already got the ID4 and the ID6. VW CEO Ralf Brandstätter said, and I quote, "After the ID4 and the ID6, we're now launching the ID3 as the third all-electric model in China within a mere 6 months. We are thus underscoring our ambition to occupy a leading position in the market for electric vehicles in China as well as Europe." End quote. So, Volkswagen also conveyed that deliveries of its vehicles from the ID family have doubled in the last 3 months. But, I should add, that's from a very, very low base. Things have not gone well for VW in China. A very slow start to the ID sales. Taking the number from 1,500 units in May to 3,000 in June and almost 6,000 in July. Hey, it's going in the right direction and it's going up quickly, but China's also a big market. I'm sure there were some pretty difficult conversations happening in China from the management down. Next, we'll talk about the MG5. The most significant thing on wheels is how the Independent newspaper reported it today. They say this unprepossessing estate car is the most disruptive car on the market right now. You probably haven't even heard of it or seen one on the road. But the MG5, electric station wagon, is what they call it, even though it's a British newspaper. It's an estate car. With its new long-range bigger battery pack, is the cheapest electric car per mile that you can buy. Great little review. I'll give you a couple of highlights, but do go read it for yourself in the exclusive trim, because let's face it, why would you get the Excite trim? You get all the automation and connectivity that you need. It's £28,000, maybe less. Get some offers from MG, some dealerships. I reckon you get it for less than 28. It's got a seven-year manufacturer's warranty. China was once known for cheap knockoffs. The Daewoo Maria, a Rolls-Royce Phantom, all knocked off in China. But now, when you look at it, it's the West that is looking to China for our auto industry direction and the geopolitical ramifications of China leading the way. The downsides are few, says the Independent newspaper. Technically, it's a bit slower to charge than its rivals. But yeah, like, you know, but the new MG5 with its 60 kilowatt hour battery pack, a bit over 60, will, I've seen it says, has 100 kilowatt charge speed. Now, I've not seen one charging yet or any charge videos, but that's a big, big increase. And 100 is probably enough for a lot of people. The battery pack is bigger, so it will take longer to fill up. If you're the kind of person who wants quality plastics, then don't buy this. You can go and get a Polestar or something, or a VW XC40 Recharge, and you'll be very happy with the insides of that vehicle But the MG5, I saw one at the last weekend, actually. We were up in London, and I saw one with a taxi sign on top. Maybe it was an Uber or something. But yeah, a taxi driver had bought the new MG5 and was using it for taxiing. And why not? Because let's face it, taxis are working vehicles. The MG5 is not the most reliable. Of course, it's very reliable. The MG5 is not the most luxurious of the vehicles, I meant to say. Obviously, I'm sure it's very reliable. And you've got a long warranty to back you up as well. We have seriously considered adding one to the driveway for a year because, as you know, we have a little fella who is coming home with brilliant sick bugs and making the rest of us ill. But either way, you know, kids just mush food into places and they have dirty feet and they kick the back of the seats. And you know what? We've had some nice cars over the last year. The Jaguar I-Pace, the new Kona, the ID3 in the driveway at the moment. But seriously, it's so stressful trying to keep a toddler clean and away from nice cars. So I think maybe we'll just do that and just suck it up and be like, you know what, in a year's time, we'll give it a proper valet and we'll unchild it. But let me know if any of my listeners are buying the MG5. I'm really, really interested in that car. Not as an aspirational car, but as a car that just gets the job done. And that's a very important marketplace. Next, we'll be talking about Dyson's $700 million EV that never was and how you can tow with self-powered trailers. So now let's talk about the self-powered trailer that you can tow behind a bike. If you're riding a non-electric bicycle, but you have a cargo trailer, well, maybe you're going to cycle to a warehouse. Maybe the forklift is going to load a 600-pound pallet on the back of your trailer, and then you have to go deliver it. Well, your leg muscles are going to be pretty worn out by the end of that. But not so if you're driving and towing on your bicycle, even a non-electric bicycle, an electric trailer. There's a German startup called Droid Drive. Good name. Droid Drive wants to save your leg muscles. The company is developing the Trailer Duck. Also brilliant name. The Trailer Duck is a trailer that you tow behind a bicycle, but it's self-powered. It'll match the speed of the bike that's towing it, says the Core 77 website. Has a maximum capacity of 300 kilograms, that's 660 pounds. That's about three good-sized adults sitting in the car, three very good-sized adults. It's a one-meter-wide trailer, and that is sized because it's designed to hold a European-spec shipping pallet. And it'll quite happily hum along behind you with its own battery power. Although the Trailer Duck is physically connected to the bicycle, in the company's eyes, that is only temporary. See, they've got a vision where they also want the duck to have, or the trailer duck, to form a duck train where the trailer is tethered to the bike via LiDAR. So nothing connecting the bike to the trailer. So all you do is you jump on your bike, you pedal away, and this trailer's following you because the LiDAR says where you are. The user could also conceivably tether multiple trailer ducks behind it in some sort of trailer duck convoy, all done on bicycle lanes, being towed, sort of with air quotes, towed by a human being. And then how long until you don't need the human being telling them where to go, till they are autonomous. Really, really interesting way to get traffic off the roads. Yes, I know this is an EV podcast, but as I say, unpopularly, sometimes the best EV is not a car. Let's talk about Dyson. And he made an EV that never was. Well, it sort of was, but never sold to the general public. James Dyson, if not in the top three richest private individuals in this country, he's certainly enormously high up the list. You've heard of Dyson for things like the vacuum cleaners, the hand dryers, the hair dryers, and the home heating and cooling and things like that. And he's written a book, and I've got an excerpt from the book. Now, Fast Company website, I've got this excerpt, so I'll just read you a few bits of it because, you know, I don't want to give you the whole thing, but go and have a look at the book if you're interested. I'm certainly very interested because he's someone who is an innovator. He doesn't get much credit compared to the likes of the Steve Jobses and the Elon Musks of the world, but he's created a vast personal fortune by inventing and leading a team that invents great products. He's also politically very different to me. He argued very, very strongly for Brexit, for, you know, for Great Britain to be politically independent, and I'm very much about being inclusive. I like the idea of being able to jump in my car and drive to France or Italy or Spain and not having to do a ton of paperwork and all those kind of things, and, you know, being allowed to travel for 90 days at a time, which is the new rule under Brexit. And so I'm very much like, hey, we're all stronger together. Let's all get on. We're all humans at the end of the day. He's very much like, no, we're better apart. And Which is funny because the products aren't made in the UK, but that's an aside, I suppose. But he's still somebody that I admire, you know, very much. I'd like to learn more about. He says in his book that when we came to designing the Dyson electric car, it had to be special. We wanted a car that was a pleasure to own, to drive and to travel. Every detail mattered. The plug-in point for the battery recharger had to be resolved, refined and as elegant as the seats, the controls and the steering wheel. Heating and ventilation had to make the best use of Dyson's knowledge of airflow and low energy use. And the batteries had to be the best we could offer. And then some. We look forward to the day when we could replace lithium-ion batteries with the solid-state technology. I wanted a car to be uncluttered, both inside and out. The design of our dash and controls engineered to keep the driver's eyes on the road at all times. All interacting controls like lights, indicators and audio adjustment for the driver were placed on the steering wheel. There was no controls on the dash, no need to look down to distract your eyes from the road. The team grew to 500 and by mid-2019 we had a very convincing car. With a pair of 264 horsepower Dyson motors in, one at the front, one on the rear. It weighed 2.87 tonnes, did 0 to 60 miles an hour in 4.6 seconds, and it topped out at 125 miles an hour. James Dyson says, while you can't make electric cars for a reasonable price, existing car companies are willing to make them because they help achieve specified exhaust emissions across their product range. So you can take a loss on electric cars and make a profit on the polluting cars and still appear virtuous. We just couldn't ever have made money from it. And for all of our enthusiasm, we weren't prepared to risk the rest of Dyson. Fortunately, we were able to stomach the $700 million loss and survive. Like I say, go and have a look at the article, the book. Super interesting. It's a private company. So when you say we were able to stomach the $700 million loss, that's his money. That's he had to stomach that loss himself. And that's incredible that, you know, you've spent that much money, that sunk cost. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty tempted to try and get that car on the road. He said the customer price, without selling each car at a loss, the customer price was coming out at like $200,000. And he said you can't sell an SUV, you know, for that unless it's a premium mark. But for a new startup, a Dyson car, no one's going to pay that. And so the company is not big enough to be able to sustain billions and billions of dollars of losses just to sell combustion cars at a profit and get away with emissions rules. And so they knocked it on the head. And it's one of the great shames about the EV story over the last 5 or 10 years. We'd love to have seen it. Other companies certainly have had a long, long look at it. There's a long list of failures. But he never, ever portrays this as a failure. He said the amount that they learn on battery technology, on airflow, on design. They said they learned a lot, but it's still clearly painful for somebody who, again, has built all of this fortune, wealth, business himself to then, with a huge team of people, say, look, we have to stop. We tried, we failed, but it's not a failure. So have a look at that. I'm really, really interested in that that story as a kind of all part of the, well, when we look back, this giant story of moving to e-mobility. And thank you very much for listening today. Our question of the week is back, and that's brilliant news. As cars like the Ioniq 5 and trucks like the Ford F-150 Lightning arrive, being able to draw power from the traction battery, what will you power from your EV? I'd like to know, what will you power from your EV? Everyone's situation is different, so I'd really like to know. We were camping a couple of weekends ago, and it would have been great if I could have just plugged into the car. And I mean, we've got like a little cigarette lighter inverter kind of thing on the ID3 just for some laptop power and some phone power. But, you know, the Ioniq 5 will take 3.6 kilowatts. That's a decent amount to cook and heating and lighting and things like that when you're at a campsite. So for me, it would have been when we were camping, I could have plugged into the car. But for you, what will you plug into your car in the future? Let me know. And email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. It is a Sunday, so we'd like to say thank you to all of our patrons, our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Hi to our partners, David and Lisa Allen, Bob Boothby and his family, running the incredible Millbrook Cottages. They are 5-star gold self-catering cottages down in North Devon. Really is a beautiful part of the world and a beautiful built set of buildings that Bob has put up there. If you want to treat yourself, check out Millbrook Cottages. Darren McCleskey, who runs De Novo Real Estate. Thank you, Darren. Jukka Kukkonen from shift2electric.com. That's with the number two. Rajiv Narayan, Ian Sear, Juliet Sodergren, and Michael Lumley. Thank you very much. And for those that have emailed in the past to say, that list of names you read out every Sunday, you just record it once and insert it in, don't you? Yeah, I wish I did. It's a long list, and I'm grateful to everybody on the list. But as you can hear this week, losing my voice, and so it's definitely not just inserted. That'll be you, Adrian Bond, Alan Ched, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andrew Green, Andy Nancaro, and Lillian Cass, Asir Khalid, Bjard Fuchsdag, Blunderbuss Jones, and Brian Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Christopher Bath, Colin Hennessy, and Cam ZV, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott, and DCEV. Hello to Don. Don McAllister runs screencastsonline.com. Ed Cortine, Eric Hansen, Erukyuni Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, Hedley Wright, Heinrich Leisner, Ian Griffiths, and Ian Waddy Watkins, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Jim Morris, John Schroeder, John Vandervoort, John, who is Beardy McBeardface from Kent EVs, John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Madison, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, and Luke Cully, Marcel Ward, Marty Young, Mike Winter, Nathan Gore Brown, Nathaniel Friedman, Neely Roberts from Sussex EVs, Ohad Aston, Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts from Oxen EVs, Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raymond Rowledge, Rene Kimmick, Rene Schneider, Rob from the RS Thinks EV channel on YouTube. Check it out. Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Sophie Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas JTS, Todd Oaks, and the Plug Seekers EV YouTube channel. Have a good one. See you tomorrow for a brand new week. Oh, and do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.